I spent a few years at the North Dakota Department of Health and doing different kind. And I've been doing lots of different kinds of epi. I started off doing diabetes, cardiovascular, now also doing some oral health epidemiology. So this is looking, the presentation I'm going to give today is part of a kind of an ongoing analysis. And this is actually the third time this year now that I've done the presentation. I did it at Safe States. I did it at our state transportation conference and doing it here. And I've updated my slides every time I've done this, incorporating another aspect of analysis from the co-presenters that we've had. So you'll see results 1, 2, and 3 as we go through, and results 1 were the results I did at the Safe States. Results 2 incorporated a different aspect of the analysis using a strategy that I saw at Safe States during one of the co-panelists. And then after I did it at our state transportation conference, there was another angle I thought about doing based upon one of the co-panelists, and so that's the results number 3 as we go through it. So you'll get this sense as we go through. You know, this is trying to get a different angle on this disparities issue. We know that the disparities exist, and we want to get a handle on it. Okay, so this one's going to focus on health literacy as a way of looking at disparities, and it's based upon some of the work done by my colleagues at the Minnesota Department of Health in the Chronic Disease Unit. They created a health literacy index, or rather more of a low health literacy index, and using this index that they created, which I'm going to show you a little bit more, we looked at it to see if that would be indicative of disparities that existed. One of the things and reasons maybe that this health literacy piece stands out for us in Minnesota is that Minnesota is a literate place. And here, this is from USA Today this year, dateline there, April 10th of 2015, Minneapolis is ranked the most literate city in the United States. Matter of fact, if you look at the top 5, you see that Minneapolis is number 1, St. Paul is number 4. You know, this is the land of Lake Wobegon where all the women are strong and all the men are handsome and all the kids are above average. Well, that's kind of, you know, the way it comes. It's the Mr. Rogers neighborhood piece, you know, the neighborhood of make-believe that he had. Mr. Rogers was a show, for those of you who are not familiar, it was on public TV for 30-some years, ended in about 2001, but gave us all good warm and fuzzies, and I think that's the way we really like to feel. You know, this is a good place to be. But the reality is that health disparities exist. And matter of fact, for us as epidemiologists, we're really dependent upon these health disparities, because if everyone had the same risk of disease, we wouldn't have a job. There would be no rate differentials. There would be nothing for us to look at. It would also suggest that none of these things are preventable. When you find disparities by age, by gender, by different populations, anytime you find a disparity, it suggests that there's something preventable and we can drive some public health policy and change. So we are really dependent upon these disparities, and we're looking for, in essence, large disparities so that we can develop effective policy. Here's one of the pieces that just kind of stands out. This was, you know, we applied for the prescription drug overdose application, not having been one of the boost states that got it last year. And so, you know, you start off on that grant application that went around, you got got 10 points if you were in the top 10, and then if you were 11th, you got 9, and, you know, they had a step program. The worse the problem was in your state, the more points you could get just at the very get-go, just for submitting an application. And Minnesota is not one of the top 10. I mean, we're probably overall, I think our overall rate, we're 45th amongst all states for our prescription drug overdose rate. But there's a place where we do stand out and where we are number 1, and that's when we looked at the disparities. If you look at first at the American Indian, the disparity between the drug overdose mortality rate in the American Indian versus that in the white population, we're number 1. Matter of fact, that disparity ratio is rather large, and I don't know if I have it there, in that the age, five times greater for American Indians compared to whites. And then for African Americans, we're also number one in the nation, and that's with a 2-to-1 ratio. So there's a couple aspects. Disparities are a big deal in Minnesota. It's the land of Lake Wobegon on one hand, but on the other hand, good health is not shared by all populations. So we're trying to understand, where do these disparities exist, and are there tools that help us get at some of these disparities? This has probably been our most common way of approaching some of this data, and these are a couple of typical kind of analysis. Incidence rate, this is motor vehicle, first one is rate of motor vehicle crash, I believe, and you see in the lowest income group, and this is zip code, median household income. In the leftmost column there, where the rates are the highest, is the lowest household median income at the zip code level. And boy, we just see that chart again and again. You can pick your favorite kind of imagery, and it's going to be the same graph. The disparities are even greater when you look at violence related. If you look at homicides, suicides, assaults, those kinds of things, that disparity is even greater, but that's pretty consistent. You see that. And then this one on the right is kind of a different angle, and this is actually one of the pieces that I got from presenting at Safe States with another presenter from Nebraska, who looked at the proportion of people with certain injuries who were discharged to services. This is things other than being discharged to home self-care on their hospital discharge. And you see the people in the lowest income group are the least likely to be discharged to some kind of services, either to rehab care, to home rehab, to anything other than home self-care. I.e., people with the lowest income group are most likely to get discharged to home self-care. Okay, so that's our basic thing. We use zip code, household median income, and that's been our basic way. Our hospital discharge data doesn't have race information on it. So this has been our typical way of going at the data, not multivariate, just, you know, putting in the information. Now, this piece on health literacy, in which some of my colleagues have been going on and looking at as a way of targeting and focusing prevention programs. First, here's this, the definition for health literacy, the degree to which individuals have the capacity to obtain, process, and understand basic health information. Now, this overlaps a lot with general literacy, but it is somewhat specific because you have to be able to understand medications and being able to understand how to navigate our healthcare system, which is rather complicated. So it does go beyond general literacy to some degree. And these are in your slides that you should be able to download, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time. This just says what I just said there. The literacy and health literacy are closely related, and there it talks about the differences. So what proportion are we talking about here? This is based on this study from 2006 that shows that if you look at it, the 36% that below basic and the basic health literacy, 36%, that's really probably the target population that we're really concerned about, not having sufficient literacy to really navigate our healthcare system and make important individual and family health choices. So again, same statement, 36% at basic or below basic health literacy. There you can find your state and how your state ranks with the health literacy. Minnesota is pretty good at about 6% with below basic literacy skills, other states having much higher rates in there. Now this is, that just states the need. I don't want to say much more on that. Here's our basic method that we came across. This is my colleagues at the health department. Jim Peacock really is the one who's doing the thinking on this. He's a cardiovascular epidemiologist at the Department of Health, and so he wanted to look at low health literacy, and he came up with a score based upon a methodology which I'll show you. And then he also identified these Nielsen prism segments which were associated with low health literacy. Again, a strategy for targeting prevention programs. This is his basic conclusion from his analysis that he uses this paper by Martin et al. And came up with cut points based upon U.S. Census 2010 data. And the reference number two there is the Martin paper that he based his work upon and came up with his health literacy score, or index would probably be a better way of describing it. And this is what the health index looks like. It's a scale of 0 to 6. I guess if you had a score of 0, you'd have great health literacy, and if you had a very high score, if you had a score of 6, you would have low health literacy. And walking through these real quickly, if less than 25% of the population was non-Hispanic white, your white population, if that's less than 25%, you get a point. If it's speaking English less than very well is greater than 15%, you get a point. Foreign-born greater than 20%, another point. Live in poverty, the proportion living in poverty greater than 16%. Age 65 and older, and this is a borderline indicator, which we'll see in another slide here real quick, it is not as a good indicator. But if that's greater than 23%, and if less than 75% with health, high school education or more. So the higher the score, the lower the health literacy. These are based upon demographic variables at the community level. And using this composite index, then you can see how Minnesota shapes up, going from 0 to 5, I guess was the highest observed using this index. And almost all the variability that you see, or the greatest amount of variability, occurs in the Twin City Metro, the Minneapolis-St. Paul Metro area, which is in that red box that's highlighted there. Not as much variability in Greater Minnesota, and indeed what you'll see through the analysis, this health literacy index, when we look at it for injury, doesn't seem to work as well for the metro area, or for Greater Minnesota. It works best in the Twin City Metro. And some of these indexes, and I was struck when we did the drug analysis yesterday, Dr. Zhang from CDC, when he was looking at the distance from the retail sites for alcohol use, that it was not perhaps as useful in the rural areas, but a better index for urban areas. And I think that's what we're going to find with this low health literacy index. The conclusions here from my colleague Jim Peacock, that second one there, removing age 65 and over improves the internal consistency of the low health literacy composite index. However, it remains the second most important contributor to the composite in outstate Minnesota, or in Greater Minnesota, as I would like to refer to it. Leave it at that. So now let's look at our results and what we did. We did take, we looked at it for motor vehicle crash using our hospital data. We also looked at it for falls, and that's the first set of results, and it's falls in those age greater than 65 or 65 and older. Then we're going to look at the percent discharge to services, just motor vehicle crash, focusing on the proportion discharge to services. And then finally, the last one there is we're going to look at the racially concentrated areas of poverty, which is now referred to as the ACP 50, which I don't remember what that acronym stands for. So here is the first part. This is looking at motor vehicle crash rate using this health, this low health literacy score. And the first analysis here, the first row, is using county as the unit of analysis, and we get a a borderline p-value and an r-squared, that's really not very overwhelming, 0.04. 87 counties in Minnesota. So this, you know, kind of dubious of how much use this would be at the county level. When we drill down to the zip code level, in the next level analysis, we then stratified, or we didn't stratify, but rather we incorporated the metro or non-metro in the model, and we find that the low health literacy score is statistically significant, but doesn't give us a very large R-squared, just 0.03. When we stratified then the last two rows by Twin Cities Metro and by Greater Minnesota, I think the, and this is our most probably standout finding, is that Twin Cities 7 County Metro only with a whole with a low health literacy score is very significant and gave us an R-squared of almost 0.4, 0.38. And that seemed to be our most significant finding in our results so far, at least until I get results number three. For rural Minnesota, or greater Minnesota there, we had the p-value of 0.02, statistically significant, but the R-squared is really not very strong. So looking at hospital-treated falls, we see there at that first level of analysis, this is the not stratifying by Greater Minnesota or Twin City Metro. It is statistically significant. Again, that R-squared is not very impressive. Moving down where we see the next significant result is again not stratifying. And let's see, that's the low health literacy score. I think that's the same, and is that the analysis is a little bit different. Oh, it's all ages instead of the 65 plus, where we have this the second red 0.0001. So the fall piece didn't really seem to play out as strong as the motor vehicle crash. Falls in 65 older, this health literacy index was not as good of an indicator for health disparities. Now, looking at the motor vehicle crash and looking at services provided or at the accessing the services after acute care discharge, so this is anything other than going to home self-care, we see that really where we get the significant result was with the 7 County Metro. And got a significant p-value, and the R-squared is 0.08, not particularly impressive at that point. Now we go on to results three. This is where we pull in the racially concentrated areas of poverty, census areas of poverty. So I guess ACP 50, areas of concentrated poverty with 50% or more from populations of color. That's the new acronym that's being used with this. And this is where we actually find some, probably the our most important finding. If you look at Twin Cities, 7 County Metro only, the middle on the case selection, we see a low health literacy score of 0.001, and when we included ACP 50 in the model, we got an R-squared of 0.45. It went from 0.38, and then when we added ACP 50, it bumped it up so we had a stronger R-squared. And then the interesting part, when we go to Greater Minnesota only, and we put in those two factors again into the model, low health literacy score and the ACP 50, we see that the low health literacy score is not significant for Greater Minnesota, but the ACP 50 is, and we get one of the stronger R-squareds of any of the models that we put in, of 0.09 basically. So, results of our analysis at this point, the current analysis is a little bit underwhelming. I'm not coming out of this going, oh yeah, a low health literacy score is the way to look at disparities. It's a piece we are looking at. My colleagues have thought about this. They came up with an index. Has a strong theoretical basis in terms of that paper by Martin. But when it actually comes out to doing the analysis, I'm not particularly struck by it at this point. I don't know. We'll play around with it some more and include some multivariate analyses, really, where we see if things play out. So in general, it seems that the low health literacy score is not yet showing much utility at this point. I've talked to Jim Peacock, the one who created the score, about this, and he said he was not particularly surprised at that. So, you know, it's kind of mixed. It's ongoing. I'm not done with the low health literacy score at this point. I'll probably, you know, give it some more tries in some of the analysis that we do, especially again when we do the multivariate. But this isn't the be-all, end-all that I was kind of hoping it might be when we first started this process. Flip side, you know, on this evidence of absence of a relationship is not evidence of an absence of relationship. So all this to say is that doesn't mean that health literacy is not important. It means at this point I haven't been able to pull that out and to really get it to speak to me in the data that we have. The index is just that, it's an index, and I, you know, my one comment to Jim was probably with another data set, maybe they could look at creating a weighted low health literacy score that might be indicative of those different composite demographic variables. And again, bottom line, we're looking forward to continuing to work in this area, looking at health literacy and seeing if that may be a way of pulling out disparities. And again, all the time thinking, how can we help move forward public health policy? How can we help prevention programs target their services? That's really where we're going with this whole thing. So we are looking with disparities, looking at something that might help drive those public health prevention programs. So that's my presentation. Any questions or comments, thoughts? Yes, sir.
Did you look at all of people's insurance status? Because I mean, I think a lot of times people get discharged to like rehab and other places. A lot of times it's dependent upon their insurance coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Does like medical assistance or Medicaid in Minnesota cover rehab services?
I think that may exactly be the factor that's going on. I haven't teased that part out on it. So this is my first time that I've actually looked at the discharge status and thinking about access to services. So this is my first analysis running with that piece, but I think it's exactly what you're talking about.
These things sort of data comes coming a lot, and it seems like insurance status is one of the biggest indicators of where you're going to go. I mean, if there's nothing to pay for it, then
right.
You're not going to get it.
They're not going to get it, yeah. Right. So, yeah.
I just want to comment because we work on the same data set. Also, it's a factor for mortality with these individuals, people who have no insurance or are on Medicare, Medicaid, they tend to have a higher death rate than the others, that those who are, you know, private insurance as well. So maybe something you want to look at.
Yeah, put that in there. If right, that may be a better indicator.
Destination.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Cindy?
I think this is a really cool analysis. First time I've actually seen health literacy injuries analyzed by health literacy, and it's interesting. And I'm wondering if the fact that you got statistical significance in the Twin City metro region versus the other, just knowing what little I know about Minnesota, is because of power issues. And maybe I'm not understanding your methodology, but you scaled things by, the percent non-white and things like that, and that was there enough robustness of the data or the groups that met certain strata criteria, like if that was impacting.
And it might because
physical significance that you found for the rest of Minnesota.
Right. Part of it, our analysis there really was done at the zip code level.
Yeah.
And so if that's in part because our enumerator data is available only at the zip code level, the hospital discharge data. We don't get addresses, but we do get zip codes, so we can't take it down to the census tract level.
And right. So let's say in a certain zip code that isn't particularly diverse or have like meeting certain health literacy strat, like you only have like two meeting health literacy level of two.
Right, but they may still have concentrated areas of low health literacy within that zip code. If that zip code is disparate, that's going to water down the results.
Yes.
You know, as you go into the analysis. And so we have not a huge N that we're dealing with, about 1,000 zip codes in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And
anyway, I'm just wondering if just adding years might help you understand the relationship better. Because it's just curious that you found a difference in one geographic region, but you didn't in the more rural areas of Minnesota, perhaps the less diverse areas.
Yeah, and right. Yep, Holly.
So if one makes the assumption that health literacy has to do with how well do you understand your medical conditions and care, one wouldn't necessarily think that that's immediately sort of relatable to injury per se. But even though you said that the rates of drug poisoning deaths and hospitalizations are low in Minnesota, drug poisoning is an area where health literacy might have some normal connection, an intuitive connection. That you might understand your medications and when you're supposed to take them or how you're supposed to take them or whatever. That might, health literacy might impact.
That one the most. That one might play out. Yeah.
Yeah. So it could be that, I mean, I know you chose motor vehicle and falls, but there could be some other aspects of injury for which these health literacy indicators would show more of a relationship or correlation because of the concept of what health literacy is all about.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, I would say don't stop now, but maybe there are some other areas of
I like that with the drugs, to try it again with that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good, thanks. Yeah, Barbara.
I'm sorry, I missed part of it. I was cold and had to put on more clothes. And I didn't realize where this room is. We all get bonus points for finding it. I just wondered about your methods in multicollinearity and if there's some underlying... So, in the creation of the health literacy and how that plays out when you create an index. And that's my lack of knowledge. And it sort of relates also to Holly, the other Holly.
Right.
And her question about do you really have discrimination or at the zip code level, is there such homogeneity within the rural zip codes compared to the urban zip codes that, drive the health literacy score?
Right. Yeah. And I don't have answers for those kinds of things. But those, things for us to think about as we go continue work in this area. The the piece on pulling in the ACP 50 indice and moving that in, and that seemed to play out for the rural areas versus the health literacy didn't play out so much for the rural areas, and that is probably driven by our American Indian populations and by the reservation. Aspects. That's probably what's making that significant within the greater Minnesota population. Yes.
Where did you get your data for at the zip code level for like the demographic stuff?
Yeah, that's coming from the census. We work with our it's census data, but we work with our state demographer to get that data. Yeah, we do. I don't have the specifics. That goes to Anna Gaitis, the second author on this, working with the data files that we get from the Minnesota State Demographer. We have a crosswalk on that. They provide that with us for us. I don't know if that's available at every state. So we got that through our state demographer. Okay, very good. Thank you very much.